Dr. Jay Clendenning. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm hanging in there. How's the Michael Labersi today?
Aces, baby. Aces and eights. Playing too much solitaire. I'm doing great, man. Literally. As I said, it's really, we're heating up in the warm months at the time of this recording, and I am just pumped. I cannot get enough warmth. I'm like some sort of flower waiting to be warmed up. So I can stop wilting and being inside my shell.
Yeah, I'm a fan, man. So everybody knows at this point, we've talked about it a bunch, where I'm building a new house, right? And I'm getting outside and doing that. So I know from a history of building forever, right? I've been swinging a hammer since I was literally a little kid. That's what I've been, you know, I've been a carpenter and I've been a tradesman and done all those things. And I know what it takes to build a house by myself. I know exactly what my body will feel like. And yet I sat on my ass all winter long, knowing, and it wasn't enough. And that's the shocking part to me, is I am a good coach and I'm good at what I do. I fully knew in my head, if I do not move, if I do not get up and I work out and need to work out really, really hard, I am going to get punished during the first third of this project. Somehow that was not enough to motivate me, knowing the pain that I was going to be in was not enough, and I will be really abundantly clear. I've had to reach out to Mike. I reached out to Mike last night about this, and it wasn't enough to get me off the couch. So a little bit of this is I'm bridging the gap of telling you the difference between pain and pleasure. Like, I get more motivated to do things over pleasure than I do over pain. Like, hey, this is going to be fun to do. I'm really going to enjoy this, so I better like get out and hike. Like, I'll get out before taking a trip to go hunt something somewhere, and I'm making sure months ahead of time I am preparing for that. However, on this particular project, even though it's fun, like, don't get me wrong, I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the quality that's going into it. It's all cool, but I didn't work out. I didn't get ready for this. And I got to be clear, I'm not the 20-year-old that I once was that could jump off the couch and do this and not hurt. I hurt then, but I hurt especially bad now. So I had to reach out to Mike, and I'm like, dude, not recovering. Like, my body is not recovering. My energy level is down. Joints are in, like, like, feels like I just finished running a marathon and just stopped. Like, yeah. And for anybody that's ever done a 5K or a 10K and then didn't stretch out, didn't walk it out, didn't do something, just stopped, and all the lactic acid built up in your body, and then just like, it hurts. Like, I've totally been that way. And I reached out to Mike, and he gave me kind of the slap in the face, and he's like, you think you should be hurting? You've done 4 days worth of work in one day as one guy. That should be, you know, and it is. I have a speed at which I travel, a speed at which I work, and I wouldn't hurt as bad if I was not working as fast as I am. And there's truth in that, and I needed to hear it. It was a little bit of reaching out for some unsolicited coaching, and just some different things. And I was looking for it. I'm like, I'm doing the right stuff. I'm eating microgreens. I'm taking magnesium. I'm staying hydrated. And it came down to, you're probably just working that hard that your body's not going to recover the way that it is. So that's the little bit of that story.
That repetitive with that pace, definitely.
And it's heavy. Everything we're doing right now is all heavy.
Awkward. Leverage, right? Like beams,
awkward leverage,
wood beams, and precision. Because, right? So there's the stress component too. Anytime anyone on any project is building from the ground up, and you're doing the work, and you're architecting this whole thing, any professional on any level will tell you, whether it's a company, whether you're doing this brick and mortar, whether you're doing tax structure, sales structure, the core of the foundation and the frame, if you mess up at all, it has catastrophic effects down the road. You don't want to get halfway down any project and realize, oh shit, I wasn't square. this isn't true. This tax structure is totally wrong. It's going to cost hours and money and time and resources. For those of you who just can't do it, you're doing everything yourself. You're at heavy equipment, you're running the stuff. You probably have stuff here and there, but you're running heavy equipment. You're literally getting the stuff on site. You're budgeting for time. You're budgeting for when and where you're going to use things. And then as you're building, each step depends on the quality of the previous 15 steps. So there's the mental, there's the physical, and then there's the outcome. Shit, I want to get stages to go. And I think people forget. And that's why, you know, they always say youth is wasted on the young. You don't know, or Benjamin Franklin, I think, said that, or Thomas Jefferson, somebody said that. Maybe it was Teddy Roosevelt. Anyway, I don't know. But youth is wasted on the young. You don't even know how much you have. Right? You don't know how much you've got. You don't know how much energy. You don't know how much you have when you're a youth. You don't have the experience. You might be able to model somebody. You might be able to duplicate what somebody's doing and regurgitate it. But you don't realize that you have all this unlimited energy, durability, and elasticity to you. We all chase that. And I still think you're smart for going as hard as you are in the paint, because you're in an unstable weather environment, and yeah, okay, it's getting warmer and stuff like that, but you don't know if it's going to be 13 days of rain in a row. You don't know whether it's going to be some weird frost over there where you are, or, you know, the equipment's going to be unobtainable for a certain amount of time. So for me, the frenetic pace you're moving at, which is a normal pace for you, is actually a good thing. You're getting all that you can. You're wrestling with all that you can in the time frame you can, just in case, because think about it. How many times have you gotten bitten in the rear because you just didn't think about something that, you know, a linchpin task that you took for granted, and then you realized, oops, this isn't ready. I can't do that task because of three other factors. And then you start going, oh man, I wish I would have thought about that beforehand. And then you start biting yourself, then you start fighting yourself going, man, I should have been more vigilant, right?
Yeah, well, it's to the point we wanted to talk about this. Input equals output, mm-hmm. Right? This is totally where we were going with this. So, like, in the beginning, when you're building a house and you're starting from the ground up and literally doing the foundation, the input is how square and how level it is. If the foundation is not square and level, it is going to be a tragedy the rest of the direction. You're going to fight that thing tooth and nail all the way. Plain and simple. There's no way around that. And that's so if you put the wrong input in right away, you're going to get the wrong output for the rest of the project. It's not going to go away. And I know that. Have done it, right? Have totally done that. Missed something. Inched myself. For those of you in construction that, you know what that means. I've inched myself in the beginnings of a project before. And man, it was a 6-inch or a foot issue by the time we got around to finishing it. totally happened, right? Mistakes happen. And you either have to plan accordingly to adjust and make that call. But yeah, for me right now in this one, the stuff I'm really happy with, I'm really happy with the overall quality of what's coming out. The output is good because there was good input in the beginning. We spent a lot of time planning, a lot of time thinking it through, had to make some minor adjustments on logistics because we had stuff like what's called road restrictions that I haven't had to play with since Alaska. I had forgotten about road restrictions. So those came on right when I was trying to push stuff, which means you can't get materials. That means semis cannot reach your project anymore for about 6 weeks. You're just stopped. You either get everything or you don't get it. And I had forgotten about that. So there was a little bit of a hurried push to get that done. So you're going to miss stuff, right? You're going to miss some of that stuff. But when we, from a communication standpoint, I'm going to go a little bit earlier on this one today, but we've, from a community, input equals output when it comes to communication. Ask us, you know, we've all heard the joke, we've seen it on social media, ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer. Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, when it comes to communication, ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer. So what is, you know, we've got that webinar coming up. What's input equals output? Where does that translate in your universe, Mike?
Everything. It's it's so stupidly simple, but it's perfect at the same time. Input equals output, meaning whatever you're doing leading up to what you're trying to do directly affects the outcome you're trying to get. Now, in certain cases, just because doesn't mean, right? So input equals output, but with the caveat, just because doesn't mean. Just because you input all the right stuff doesn't mean you're guaranteed success. Just because you input doesn't mean the outcome will be dictated exactly how you think. Because you put so much into it, again, it doesn't mean it's going to land. Think about writing songs for a second. Certain artists write songs, right? It takes them 4 minutes. Boom, smash hit. Others take 6 to 8 months, dies on the vine, right? All that creativity, putting in the hours, putting in the work. What input equals output means is getting in the habit of refining what you're doing, putting attention on the outcomes that you want on the way in to guide the outcomes that you're trying to get. Now, it's not always going to work, but it works 100% of the time when you focus on your input. You can make adjustments a lot quicker. It's like you were doing a thing on AI, and the input into the AI is directly the output. Crafting exactly what you want the AI to do and framing up, there's a lot of parameters that go into, believe it or not, programming AI. When I say believe it or not, I'm talking to an AI expert, but believe it or not to the public, right? Literally, when you were talking about the prompts, the responses you want out of your AI, how you want the AI to conduct itself. It's the same way with you and me. We have a project coming up. What we put into this webinar on May 13th. What we put into this webinar on May 13th is what we're going to get out of it. So let's talk about that. CRG formula, May 13th. We're bringing this tool out. It's a communication tool. It's a tool for businesses, big businesses, small business, salespeople, it's a communication tool. And you can put it a little bit different way than I'm doing it, but when we say communication and a sales tool, what are we talking about?
So Mike's right, it's a tool. So we built this in response to some things that were happening for some of our corporate coaching clients, to where we noticed there was a gap in communication. And what I've absolutely found that is one of the things that's causing the gap in communication is it's the convenience of this remote universe we live in, right? We do so much stuff on Zoom. We coach on Zoom. Both Mike and I use it all the time. A lot of corporations are running remote, and they think it's a gap culturally that, hey, we're just not together, so we're missing this bridge of culture. It's not what it is. It's actually a communication issue. It is actually a communication issue. So we actually built a tool. It's not a here's your book of scripts. It is a conversation primer, if you will. Like there used to be a board game that was this thing. It'd give you a list of questions and you ask the thing tension breaker or icebreaker. It's kind of where they start. But it also fleshed out with using the scientific method. If anybody remembers that from school, how that works, and there's actually a commercial I saw come on during a movie not too long ago that prompted this and made me realize that what is the very first thing we do in the scientific method? We question. Communication is the exact same creature. The first thing that should come out of our mouth should be a question, and it should never be a yes or no or a why. So there's a little bit of a teaser on what this tool is, and this is a talk track to get to agreement. This is for salespeople to get to agreement. This is for customer retention to get to agreement. This is for human resources. This is for hiring. This is for executive leadership to L1s and L1s to L2s to skip level for having those one-on-one conversations to connect with your people, to get into rapport and to grow as an organization. So we're stoked about this. It's a cool tool that we've put together. It's a cool tool. That's a really lame statement, but yep. That's, yeah.
That's okay.
But that's okay. But that you know, didn't mean to do that. May 13th, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can go to our website, www.total-disruption. Get your free ticket to that webinar. Check it out. And you'll get the free version of the tool. And we've got some other stuff for you on that.
And
too.
Listen, for entrepreneurs and anybody out there that wants to sharpen up your communication skills and become from a position of authority and make sure that you're fortifying the way your input equals your output, definitely want to show up there. Pretty clever how I tied it together. So let's talk about something for a second. When we talk about input versus output, again, I use baseball references like crazy because kids play it. I love the idea of it. It's super competitive, down to the 0.1% on output, right? There's a ton of people that you input a ton into their baseball careers. There's not a lot that actually make it to the high level of professionals seeing a game in a stadium on game day. But it's a fraction of a fraction. It's as thin as a piece of paper. And why would somebody want to get into something like that? Obviously for the love of the game. Obviously you want to get compensated as a megastar athlete. Or I can't see myself doing anything but playing baseball. I'd rather do that than have a job, right? But input equals output. When I look and my son plays for his high school team as a freshman, and I look at even there, certain kids get favorable looks, right? And he puts in a ton of work, right? Is it as good as? I don't know. It's in the coach's eyes. It's what the coaches see. But it allows me to give him better input in his brain. Hey, buddy. Your success story is going to be you thrive under pressure. You're an underdog your entire baseball career. You understand how each at bat could be your last for the game. You're not guaranteed. You could get subbed out at any minute in any game. And, you know, you're out of the game and you're out of having fun that day. You're still rooting for your team. And certain days that's warranted. Other days it's not going to be warranted. So what are you going to do to make sure you are as athletically ready as possible and as mentally ready as possible so that you can match each occasion? And in baseball, the metrics are stacked against you. Think about it. If you're batting 300 or 400, you're only batting 30%. 30%, right?
Mm-hmm.
500 or 600, still stellar. That's 60%. It's crazy. The metrics are so stacked against you. It's such a hard idea. So is life. Especially for the average person trying to actually make it. It's very difficult to make it. It's very difficult to sustain it because input doesn't always equal output. And the input component is where people fail a lot, I think, Jake.
Well, see, I'll argue that one a little bit with you just because it's fun to argue with you. But I think it does. I think input always equals output. I think it does. And I'm going to say that for the purpose of when it doesn't appear to, I don't think you had a clear output in mind. So you were putting a disproportionate input towards a unrealized expectation. I know that's a lot of big words, but what I'm saying is if you aren't clear on what you really want. What's the result I'm really looking for? If I'm not clear on that, I can't put the right input in. I can't. If I put the disproportionate input, no difference. I was talking about this earlier with the house, is I put the wrong amount of input in 6 months ago when I should have been like straight up doing nonstop yoga and weight training. That would have been the appropriate input so that the output right now was I get the same quality of the build because my brain is not going to change as far as what I want the output to be quality of the project. But I did not have the right expectation physically of what this was going to take me this time at 52 years old to step back and say, okay, the input needs to be this in order to for me to get that result. I'm still getting the quality that I want out of the house. It's still going to get done when I want it done because that deadline isn't going to change. But I am feeling physically far different about it. Like right now, if this was a if there was a draft for builders, right, to go out there and do it, I wouldn't be getting drafted, because I'd be the old guy sitting in the cold tub every night, you know, barely getting into the tub, going, oh God, oh God, oh God, trying to get there, thinking, I mean, I'm taking like 3 showers a day just to roast my body and loosen it back up. I don't have to do that if I had to put the right input in. So that's where I'll kind of argue that one. And that's where we go to that AI, where we were talking about the AI speech stuff. If you're getting, like a lot of people, I'll pick on Otter AI for a second, because Otter lives in just about everything right now. I know I hate Otter, but not that it's a bad product, but it's just, it's a closed circuit. It's not an open AI. It's not conversational. And it's very, very, very tertiary in what it does, right? So basically, if I say, I want you to summarize this email, and then it comes out and it misses 5 of the points that I was looking for, is that the AI's fault? It's not. It's my fault. Because I didn't tell it exactly what I wanted it to do. I just said summarize the email. I gave it bad input. So therefore, I'm not going to get the appropriate output. If I say, I need you to give me these 5 bullet points summarized so that I can send this to the executive team, that's a different input. Now, it's the result, the end goal is I still want to send these 5 points, but I gave it 2 different inputs. So I'm going to get 2 different outputs. So that's where we talk about this from AI. So that's where I argue with it about, it doesn't always equal it. Now, what's the goal? You know, what's the point? If the goal of playing baseball is for the love of the game, then the input may look different. It may not be that you need to hit over 300. You may be damn happy hitting over 300. So that would be my question. I think input always equals output.
Well, at some point you've got to work hard to stay in the game. Otherwise, you're just not going to be in the game. So if you love the game, you've got to translate that into every at bat I get, I got to hit. Every this, that, you know, I've got to do something. Otherwise, and you know, I hear people talking about it whose kids were close to making it to like the majors, and it's 3 hits a week. It's just that cutthroat. It's that close. It's 3 more hits a week. And you're talking about kids playing games every day. You got, you know, 7, 8, 9 innings to play. It's just like that. Getting on base, you're doing the metrics are so difficult, and it's amazing and fun to watch my son rise to the occasion. Like, I've never seen this side of him before. I've never seen this level of completely selling out in a good way to the end game. He's loving it. Loves all the volume. He's always thrived on it. Loves being on a baseball field. Loves playing at a high level. It's great. And he likes I earned this spot and now I have to fight to keep it. He doesn't love that part of it, but he's learning to love it. And that's going to be his legacy. He's going to that's going to carry him through the rest of his life. And I'm so thankful for the sport. I'm thankful for the school, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that he's put himself in. It was not easy, and it's still not easy. And it always, as a parent, you always see what's going on a little bit from the outside looking in, like any coaching relationship. It's great. It's great to see. And it gives me pause on what I'm doing, what we're doing, how I'm contributing to my life. And there's certain health aspects of my life that I've battled. And I realized in recovery of certain things, my input didn't always equal my output to get me there. And then my output was related to my input. So guess what? My input is now locked down. My input is I am quietly stoic on my input. It is not a big deal. There's not big statements. It's just the switch has been flipped and it is never turning off. And that's just the way it is. I don't journal about it. I don't talk about it. I just do it. It's locked in because I am finally sick of the output. So I changed the input. I changed the way I live completely to reflect the output that I want. And I have never been more satisfied personally with how I'm conducting myself. Do I wish I was a young guy again so I could kind of maybe do this a few years ago? Sure, but I'm not. But I couldn't be happier. I don't have the same struggles as I did before. Blessing in disguise. Anything to add to that, Jake, as we part our ways here with time?
I would tell the audience, go watch the movie F1. There's a little bit of little, yeah, it's a great movie. There's some brilliant input equals output references in that. I dare you to go watch it with that set of glasses on. It's kind of fun.
Awesome. I love it. All right, man. Well, you guys are just live on Total Disruption for my esteemed colleague, Dr. Jake Glendening. I'm Michael Liberace. We'll see you next time when we're live on Total Disruption.